I just want to say it's a tremendous privilege, and it's deeply humbling to be in this position. I am just so very grateful to be a part of this congregation of the body of Christ here in Alliance, Ohio. It's a living body of the Alliance Christian Center. And I want to apologize. Kirk preached part of my sermon last week without knowing it, but I did have my notes before that, so I didn't plagiarize them, but some of the parts you're going to hear again, but it's probably worth repeating. So, but you know what? Ultimately, it's all about the kingdom of God. You know, individuals, you know, that's not the story. It's about together forming the body of Christ, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection be preached in all the world, so that the house of God, when he returns, will be full with all the people that he has called. No part is unimportant, and no part is more important than another part. You know, it's one of those things that Scripture just tells us over and over again. It's like every part has to do its work for the body to function. All of us who bear the name of Christ have a vital function within the church. As I step more fully into this role of pastor here, I'm simply doing my small part. It's a much larger story that God is writing, and one that will go on for all eternity. And I want to start off, I want to take a little brief look back at what God has done in this little corner of his kingdom. So a brief history of the Alliance Christian Center. In 1978, Alliance Christian Center was established, led by a then 23-year-old Kirk Martin. So you young guys out there, put that in perspective. You're not too young. God can do amazing things. Came along with a team consisting of 14 adults and 7 kids, and several of those founding members are still active parts of ACC and our sister church in Louisville. So there's Kirk and Ruth and their 3 girls, Rayo and Cindy Sari. They were not married when they came. They came separately, but then got married here in Alliance. It was, Kirk, your first wedding, right?
Ruth corrected me. It was probably my second.
Okay. All right. Kirk's second wedding. And then Dave and Karen Walker, Dave, who's gone on to be with the Lord, and baby Thaddeus, who is with us today, no longer a baby, with 5 of his own. Gordon McGuire and Gail, who later married Bill Barza here in Alliance. So I find that amazing that part of that team 40 years ago is still an active part of this congregation today. In 1988, this building opened, and the church started meeting here in this location. Janet and I started attending in 1990, and at the invitation of one of my work colleagues, Joel Parkinson, who many of you know, and also I worked with Paul Dykeshorn. Dave and Karen Walker were one of the first people to reach out to us, invite us over for lunch after church. And I remember she made this roast beef gravy over spätzle. And I had never heard the word spätzle before. I'm like, what the heck is a spätzle? But it's like dumplings. They're really good. And it was very, very good. But they really were part of the people that started connecting us to this congregation. In 1995, many of you remember, Kirk resigned as a pastor of ACC after acknowledging an unhealthy emotional attachment outside of his marriage. He was not in a position to lead the church spiritually or emotionally and needed time away to address the issue and to pursue counseling and healing. And what followed was a 16-year journey of counseling and healing in the beginning, and then spiritual growth as the Lord deepened Kirk's walk with him, reshaping his character and gradually confirming that God's call on his life was still in place. Now in that time, 95 to 98, Rayo Sari was the pastor, and he left a significant imprint on my life. Rayo's love for the Word and the way that he would wrestle with tough questions, understanding the Scripture has authority, and that even when we don't understand it, it's still true. And he just put that into my heart that, you know what, you don't think you're smarter than Scripture. When you don't understand something, Scripture's not wrong. We just got to figure out what's right. Then after an interim period led by Joel Parkinson, Paul Dykeshorn became the lead pastor here in 2000. And Paul cared deeply about the flock and sought to care for the people of God. In 2004, I was ordained an elder and worked closely with Paul for several years. And again, he was just a man of sincerity and integrity. Kirk Martin had begun to lead a home church in that time, and that was meeting for several years. And in 2011, we asked Kirk to come back and help out as an advisory elder. And then something extraordinary happened. Kirk's calling to minister and be involved with the expansion of the kingdom of God was just bursting in his heart. He couldn't not be in that calling, you know, and just be part-time. And at the same time, God was birthing in Paul Dykeshorn an idea to start a ministry to help men in Alliance who needed to learn job skills so that they could become employable. An amazing work of God's reconciliation and restoration. After a time of prayer and fasting, you know, we set aside this time of prayer and fasting. We had this meeting. We came together. And it was me and Paul and Kirk Martin and Bill Powell. And I'm sitting there and Paul says, "Well, Kirk, I think I should step aside and let you become the lead pastor again." And Bill's like, "Yeah, Linda had a dream about that very thing." And I'm sitting there saying, What's going on? But it was something that only Jesus could bring about. Restoration, reconciliation, healing. And since then, ACC has continued to grow more strong and mature as each part does its work. Over the last 14 years, Kirk has helped build up ACC's leadership base and led in a way that it was never about him. It was always about building the body. He's done the hard work of making the Great Commission a focus, even with people like me sometimes dragging my feet. He also empowered and equipped men and women in the church to do the work of the ministry. And Kirk used this definition last week, said, "Ministry is the variety of ways given to us by God's grace in order to meet the needs of others and requiring some response from us." So today, ACC is a healthy church with many different parts working well together to serve Jesus and build up the body of Christ while striving to make disciples of all people here in Alliance and in the surrounding areas. And today I want to give honor where honor is due. I want to make it clear once again that my coming on staff at ACC at this time is not so much to replace Kirk as it is to relieve him, to release him. You know, he talked about that releasing, and really this is about that as much as me. Kirk himself has said many times he has no plans to move to Florida or pick up golf or any other time-wasting hobby. That's what golf is for me. It's a time waster, right? But anyway, but he's going to continue to lead the effort to ensure that there's no place left in Alliance and the surrounding areas where the gospel of Jesus has not been fully proclaimed. Romans 13:7 says, "Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." I want to say loudly and clearly, Kirk Martin is an extraordinary man. Let's give him a hand. Though Kirk is not widely known nationally yet, he works tirelessly to make the name of Jesus known in this city. In recent years, he's probably shared the gospel with thousands of people, one at a time, or maybe two or three at a time. He works the grind, making things happen. During a recent tragic event in our city, Kirk found an opportunity to care for the people involved. And they ended up asking him to do the funeral service. And then we ended up doing the funeral dinner for, I don't know, 75 people, something like that. And the family was so touched and so cared for and loved. They could feel the love. Last month, we did that crazy bike giveaway. And Kirk was running the show, you know, calling people down with numbers and stuff. And but the crowd was enormous. And at one point, it was getting a bit restless. And Kirk told the crowd, hey, if anybody starts fighting, we're going to shut this thing down and pack up and go home. And they talked about the great commandment. He said, Jesus said, we got to love one another. And we got to love God with all our heart and love one another as our neighbor, love them as ourselves. And you know what? The crowd listened and calmed down. You know, and yeah, there were some people probably rolling their eyes. But I could see that Kirk Martin had become the pastor of the city of Alliance. And that's an awesome thing. So again, I'm not going to try to replace Kirk, even if that were possible. I'm here to relieve some of the burden and release him to do even more disciple-making. So Kirk, I guess now kind of I'm your pastor now. That's really weird. So if you put the next slide up, this is just for you, Kirk. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Amen? All right. So, and I just want to say, Kirk has been a wonderful friend and mentor to me over the last year. You know, I asked him the other day if, after seeing me acting like a goofball at Brianna and Nathan's wedding, if he had any regrets. But he said, it's probably good to, you know, mix a little craziness into the mix. So, anyway. All right. So, what's next? You know, as I said, Alliance Christian Center is very blessed to have such a wonderful group of servants and people gathered together. So many gifts in operation, so many dedicated and faithful servants of God. And I think we generally do a great job of heeding the words of the Apostle Peter, who said in 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. But at the same time, you know, we've got to be forceful for the kingdom of God. Amen. Matthew 11:12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. We need to be forceful for the kingdom of God. We need to be aggressive, knowing that his work is imperative in the life of so many. We can't just be passively living our lives waiting for Jesus to come back. We have our marching orders. They're clear. The great commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the great commission, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that Christ has commanded. And we're titling this GC squared, the great commandment squared. And I just put that up there for you, Frank. Little future dream there. And maybe we can get Frank a food truck so he doesn't have to haul things in his car. Anyway, be praying for that. We can summarize it, you know, very succinctly. Love God, love each other, make disciples. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. That's what we want this church to be all about. So here's some specifics that the ACC leadership has broken down using building blocks A through E to abide. To continually draw close to Jesus as our center. B, the Bible. We want to always be basing everything on the truth of God's word that's our foundation. Community. We want to have authentic relationships where we're caring for one another. Discipleship. Learning to daily walk out our next step of obedience. And that's a phrase we've been trying to use a lot. It's like, what's the next step of obedience? You know, God is calling you. What's your next step of obedience? And evangelism, working to fulfill Jesus' great commission. Now, here's some things we're going to try and do this fall to implement these things. Under Abide, we're going to start a monthly community worship and focused prayer time being led by Randy Jellison. And we did that overnight prayer thing a month or so ago, and Randy's just got that stirring in his heart to make that happen and to draw other churches into that as well. We won't do it overnight. That's just... So we'll do it shorter time. But anyway, so be looking for that. Under Bible, We're going to relaunch the School of Foundations for Ministry that we used to run years ago. And it's going to be Monday nights in the fall. Teacher Ray Osari has agreed to lead the class on basic foundations. And then we're also going to be doing a series on apologetics. So be an opportunity to really dive into the Word of God more deeply. Under community and discipleship, as Kirk announced last week, we're going to be launching small groups this fall. And we want to do some training over the next couple months to help anybody who wants to step into this role. Because you know what? We're not asking you to be a Bible teacher who's got 3 years of seminary training. All you need to be is someone who can host, someone who, you know, maybe you have a friend that can host, and all you have to do is be able to read scripture and ask a few simple questions. So it's a very basic idea, but you know what? These groups are really powerful. We've had just really great time just sitting and talking about a passage of scripture. So again, an opportunity for every part to jump in on this. And then evangelism, with Kirk now released to fully pursue disciple making, we'll continue the continual gospel outreaches, as well as partner with and train other churches to go into the harvest. So, building for the future. One of the things that I really want to be focusing on is the development of more leaders. 2 Tim 2:2 says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And this is something where, you know, I'm looking at these young men here, you know. It's like, where's Freeman at? He was right over here somewhere. You know, we need these young men to step up. It's a continuous process that the Apostle Paul talked about. So, you know, the Apostle Paul, he was one generation. And then he said to Timothy, the second generation, teach other men, third generation, who can teach other men also, fourth generation. We've got to have that multi-generational thought that we're always teaching to teach. And so again, I'm asking God, I'm praying for God to continue to bring us young men and women who are willing to be disciples of Christ, and especially men who can be leaders and teachers of others. You know, the church was never meant to be a show. It was never meant to be about, you know, just the people up on the stage. It's a collection of people making Jesus known to the world. Every part. And the Apostle Paul gives us a key blueprint to follow in Ephesians 4:11. So this is where I'm repeating some of Kirk's message from last week. But Ephesians 4:11 says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work." So when the body is functioning well, every part is working. So we can go to that next slide. Jesus is the head. He's the source of all of this. And then he's given this fivefold ministry, apostles, pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, to equip the body. So again, it's not, you know, that there's a hired minister who does the work. It's like the ministers are you, the people. The equippers are the leaders, the elders, helping you guys to become all that you are meant to be. And it's such a beautiful thing. As each part does its work, the whole body builds itself up in love. As I step more into that equipping role, I will do all I can to build you up and release you, the ministers, to do the work that God is calling us to do here in Alliance, Ohio in 2026 and beyond. Because every one of you, whether you were saved 30 years ago or you got baptized last week, God has something for you to do. He has work that will help advance the kingdom of God. And this is a scripture that I've shared with the youth many times, hundreds of times probably, is Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us to do long ago. And I love that aspect that before you were born, God knew you. God designed you. God designed the works for you to do. Long before you were even born, he was thinking about you and what you could be. And see how this ties in. Ephesians 4:16. The whole body joined and fitted together as each part does its work. So it isn't just that, okay, this is, you know, me finding my purpose, you know, so I can be fulfilled. That happens. But us each finding our purpose and our place fits us into the body because God knows how it's designed. He knows what part fits where, what skills you have and what skills the other person has. And he's fitting it together so that each part can support the other part and the whole body can become strong. Jesus knows what he wants to do in the world today. He's doing it. He's moving. He is making his kingdom known. And he's preparing his church for the one day when he'll return. And all we have to do is do our part. And me stepping up here as pastor now, it's just my little part in this big story that God is writing. And I think that's so encouraging. You know, it's like it doesn't depend all on any person. It depends on all of us. And all we got to do is seek the Lord. What's my part? And then be obedient to do it. Isn't that awesome? To my fellow elders, I want to remind you of our calling. In 1 Peter 5:1, it says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So, you know, it's the same story. We all have to just not lose our focus and be distracted by the joys, the cares of this very temporary world. You know, it's kind of funny when Ruth brought up Moses, I thought maybe she was referring to the fact that I was so old getting into ministry. But you know what? This world is so temporary. And the older you get, the faster it passes. And you're like, wow, let's get to work. We're running out of time. So, young men, we need you to continue to step up. We need more elders who will care for the flock and watch over them and meet the needs of the body. You know, we tend to think the times we live in are unprecedented. I don't know how many times, you know, something happens for the 10th time, and oh, it was unprecedented. It's like, the reality is the history of the church has always been difficult. You know, there's been times of peace, but there's also been times when there's been great persecution, and really the church has thrived most in times of persecution and more floundered in times of prosperity. Sadly, much of the original Christian church was wiped out by the Islamic invasion through that period of time, all through that area. But the church continues to expand into areas that it hasn't been before. And Jesus wants his gospel to go into the whole world. You know, it's awesome that we get to support these disciple-making movements, which are going on in various places in like India and in some other countries in the world. But hopefully, we become a disciple-making movement right here in Alliance, where people are coming in and they're getting saved and they're becoming disciples and they're leading their friends and their family to follow. We live in truly exciting times because Jesus is building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, let's press in and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You know what? I want to grab onto that which Jesus took hold of me. It said, come, do my work. Come, be a part of my kingdom. And he's got his hand on you too. And he wants to grab a hold of you and say, grab hold of it. And come along for the ride. Because that's the beautiful thing, is it doesn't depend on who we are. It depends on who he is and his spirit in us, empowering us to become the men and the women that he is calling us to be. It's such a beautiful thing. And it's so freeing to know that, you know what, it's not because of my past, like Kirk mentioned earlier. You know what, we all have a past, and it doesn't matter. What we have is a future in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to follow him into that future. So let's draw near to Jesus, walk in obedience, love God, love each other, and make disciples. It's just that simple. Amen? So I'm going to pray. Randy, you want to come up and pray for us and close us up? I'm going to pray, and then I'll let you take it. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much. God, you are so worthy of our praise, Lord God. I'm just so in awe of your salvation, Lord Jesus. I think about how you take these jars of clay, Lord. You take people out of the muck and mire, and you turn them into your creation. You turn them into your beautiful masterpiece. Lord God, I'm so grateful that just by your blood, just by your sacrifice, by your Holy Spirit living in us, you transform us into new creations, and you invite us to be a part of an eternal kingdom that you're building. Father, I just ask for you to transform each person more and more into your image, that we would come closer to you every day, that we would become more obedient every day, and that we would see your kingdom birthed in us each and every single day, Lord Jesus. I pray this in your name. Amen.